Today we'll be speaking to Robert Magnus Sr. of Bel Air, Maryland. Mr. Magnus, when were you born?
December the 4th, 1909.
And where were you born?
Right on this farm down at this house in the sun.
I see. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
One sister, Mildred Preston. She married a Preston.
And when was she born?
September the 16th, 1907.
When did you marry? When did you marry?
52 years ago. I forget the date.
That'd be 1942.
Yeah, okay.
And what was your wife's name?
Florence Bittison.
Where did you marry?
Down at Getz's Church at Bel Air Road.
Let's see. And did you have any children?
Two children, a boy and a girl.
And their names?
Robert J. Magnus Jr. and Kathleen O'Connell. Magnus O'Connell. She married O'Connell.
I see. Do they still both live in Harford County?
The daughter lives on the. We gave her the ground on the end of the farm that joins Camelot, and she built a house there. And my son lives in the house that I was born in.
I see. So they both live right around you?
On the farm.
I see. Who were your parents?
Robert Lee Magnus and Florence Winkler. Her maiden name, Winkler Magnus.
Do you remember when they were born?
No. They both died. My father died in 49, my mother died in 48, and they were 72 years old when they died, and they both had cancer.
Mm. Do you remember when they were married? Did they tell you when they were married?
Well, I don't really remember. I think my sister would know. I don't know.
Okay. Were they from this area originally? Was your family from around here?
They're both around here.
I see. How long has your family lived around this area in Harford County?
Ever since before 1900.
I see. When I was speaking to you earlier, you mentioned your grandfather.
Yeah, my grandfather bought Whitaker Mill Farm before 1900, and he had five sons, and four of them bought farms around him, adjoining him, and the other one farmed the home place. But they didn't run the mill, they used it as a dairy farm and sheep. And my father bought this farm, and my uncle Sam, he bought where Camelot is, and when he passed away, his widow and son sold the farm where Camelot is and started Magnus Florist out on Route 1. And the other, Jim Magnus, he bought the farm across the road from us here. And when he wanted to sell, could no longer care for the farm, he sold it to me, and I gave it to my son. then the other uncle bought Dunkale Farm on the Whitaker Mill Road, and his grandson's farming the place now. So they're all, but the home place was sold after my uncle died, and they've built houses around on it.
You mentioned that your grandfather didn't use the mill. Did they rent the mill out, or did anyone use it?
They just used it as a barn.
I see.
They used it as a dairy barn and house sheep and a dairy cattle.
I see. Do you have any grandchildren?
Four? Three girls and a boy.
And do they still live in Harford County?
Yeah, they are right with their parents. They still live with their parents now, going to school, well, college.
Mm-hmm.
One just graduated from college.
I see. Well, I guess your family has been in farming for a long, long time.
Yeah, I've been always did farm, except during World War I, my father used to, when they built Edgewood Arsenal in 1917, he had teams of horses down there. They didn't have bulldozers and backhoes and things. They just used drag scoops and dump wagons, and that's the way they built Edgewood Arsenal during World War I, and then they went from there to Aberdeen and built that.
Huh.
And I can remember going down with my uncle to take feed down to the horses when they were working at Edgewood.
So, the government contracted your father to work?
Well, just more than my father, there's just hundreds of people down there.
Sure.
With horses.
Mm-hmm.
And they all just went down there and kept the horses down there in on a sheds like, and that's the way they built it, with horses and dump wagons and scoops and things.
I see.
And then I can remember when most every farm around here shipped a little milk. It was only a 5-gallon can or two. And my uncle used to take it up to Falston to Maryland, Pennsylvania train.
Oh, the Ma and Pa?
Yeah, and put it on the train and it'd take it into Baltimore, one of the dairies.
I see.
And at that time, I was about 5 years old, and my sister was 2 years older, and we went up here to Dunkale School on Whitaker Mill Road, and that lasted for about a year or two, and then they closed it, and I had to go to Emerton then. And we had to get there the best way we could, either walk or drive a horse and buggy, but mostly walked across the fields.
How far is Emerton School from here? About
across the field, it would be about 4 miles.
It's a long walk.
Yeah. Night and morning, but then we drove a horse for a while and kept it in a stable down there. But the old, that was a stone school on the old Wheel Road. One room school.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's a dwelling now. And then when we went to Bel Air School, we used to drive a horse up there and keep it in back of Woodley Richardson's grocery store. He had stables there. And then we would walk on up to school. And I can remember when There were canning houses on most every other farm around here. They canned tomatoes and sugar corn and some string beans, but it was mostly tomatoes and sugar corn.
They used to grow quite a few tomatoes around here, didn't they?
Yeah. But I don't think they're canned house in Harford County anymore.
You mentioned you went to school at Dunkale for just 1 year.
Yeah, they closed that on account of they didn't have enough pupils, I guess, going there. And I think about all of them are people that I can remember have passed away from up there, but my sister and I. And the last one that I can remember was Charlie Lutz. Lutz's Hardware.
Oh, wow.
I went to school with him up there at Dunkale School when I was 5 years old.
What was Dunkale like? What was the school like?
It was just a one-room school. It's still up there, and it's on part of the Fresh Air Farm. And then I remember when the Fresh Air Farm was there, and my uncle and my father had wagons to put two horses ahead of the other two, and had seats down through the wagon, and they had tops on them, and they would meet the train, Ma and Pa train, at Falston, and get the underprivileged children that come up on the train and bring them down to the Fresh Air Farm. And then they would take a load back up and put on the train, and they'd go back to Baltimore. They do that every 2 weeks during the summer.
For how long would the children stay?
Well, during the summer vacation.
Okay.
They stay 2 weeks.
I see.
And then my uncle and father used to furnish milk over there to the Fresh Air Farm, and they would take this the raw milk over, and I did that for years until I had to have it pasteurized, and then they got it from the dairies.
Well, so the Fresh Air Farm was a place where underprivileged children from the city could go?
Yeah. It was up there for years, but I think maybe they have it up here on the Chestnut Hill Road, Cherry Hill Road, or someplace up there.
But it's not the same place as it was?
No, I think they have aerobics and different things there, but I think it's really for sale now.
When did the Fresh Air Farm begin, do you know?
Well, I think at first way it started, my grandmother down here at Whitaker Mill, she started taking some children down there. It was a right large house, and she'd bring them up there and board them for the summer. And then they started this Fresh Air Farm up the road after that. And I think that was about, let me see, I was born in 1909, I was about 8 years, I guess about 1912, I guess, or something like that.
Who began the Fresh Air Farm?
Mm-hmm.
Who did?
Who owned it?
Who began it, yeah.
I don't know, but they had a board of directors, but I remember Suitors were the first one that I remember living there, because my mother used to visit them, and they had a parrot up there. And that was quite remarkable for a young child to see a parrot, and it talked.
So your father and your uncle volunteered to drive the children in the wagon?
Yeah, but I think, I don't know how much they paid them, but I guess they had to pay them something because I had all these fancy wagons and all.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the ma and pa with the milk runs and bringing the children up here. As a farmer, did you have a lot of contact with the ma and pa? Did you use it much for hauling?
Well, they used to haul milk, and then they had a kind of a little pens up here at Bel Air where you could take cattle and they would put them on the cars and take them to market for you, either up to Pennsylvania or down to Baltimore. And then I remember when I went to high school up there, some of the children would come in on the train and from Falston and around to the school up here, that was nearest high school, and that was the only means of transportation, was from Falston on up, would be on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several families came up on that.
I see. I'd like to go back for a minute to Emerton, where you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
How many children attended class? Like, what was the average size of a class that would go there?
I don't know. I had a picture in here of it. I guess the whole school wouldn't be over 40. They had 7 grades in one room, and it'd be about 40, I guess.
One teacher?
Two teachers. One in the room, one in the other. And a
huh.
Whole big, what you call a pot-bellied stove would heat it, and you have to go over to a spring to get the water.
Wow.
And go to the bathroom across the street, across the road, out in the woods there, they had a portable toilet.
My, that must have been something.
Yeah, I wouldn't go very far today.
No.
Used to have ink wells and slates at our desk.
And then you went to Bel Air High School,
mm-hmm.
you said. Well, that must have... Where was the original Bel Air High School?
Well, the first one I went to was on Gordon Street.
Gordon Street?
That was that old building that's there now, and then they built a new high school right on the same next to it. And then I was the first one to graduate from there, our class was.
Huh.
And then they've torn it down and built another one now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must have been, school must have been a lot different.
Oh, yeah.
High school.
Altogether different then.
I guess not nearly as many kids as there are now around here.
Not as many.
Well, since there's so many more people here now, I guess back then there weren't nearly as many kids.
Oh, no. I think our class was on. Wasn't too many in it. I got a yearbook back there now. I think it's 27. Our class was the first one to have a yearbook. They called it El Adios. And that was the first one that I think they still call it that too, the yearbook.
Well, you've been a farmer all your life. What was farming like when you were young? What was it like to work on the farm when you were...
Well, it was hard work. It was all horses. And some used oxen, very few then, but I have seen them using oxen. And it was all done with horses, plowing and harrowing and planting. And to fork working on the wagon and pull it off with a hay fork. It was all man-killing work in this kind of weather, especially.
Hot summertime.
Yeah. And we'd fill the silo, we'd have to cut the corn by hand and throw it down in a pile and then pick it up and put it on a wagon, take it in and throw it to a chopper. It was just, we had no balers then, or no hay binds or anything like that.
Was your your farm mainly just a family business, or did you have other people work for you too?
Well, at harvest time we'd have to have some help, and then I remember during World War II, we used to get the German prisoners to help fill silos.
Really? They
have to go down the edge, wouldn't get them, and bring them up here and feed them during the day, and then take them back at night.
Huh. So during the war, the government would let you come down and bring prisoners back up here to do farm work? Well, we talked about how hard farming was in the summertime when you were young. How did winter affect the farm?
Well, you didn't do too much, and you just cut a lot of wood to keep warm with. That's the main thing they had then to heat with, was wood. And you had to open the roads up to get out, get your milk out and things, because the county didn't open the roads then like they do nowadays. They didn't know what sand or salt was. They knew what sand was, but they never put salt on the roads. And it was just right much of a struggle. And in here, and it's thawed out in the spring, well, it'd be nothing but mud. And when it would freeze up a little, it'd be so rough you couldn't travel over it. It was just, from here to Bel Air, it'd be just mud.
Well, not
up to the horse's stomach. So.
Well, none of the roads were paved, right?
No, not from here. Bel Air Road, I remember, it was mostly always paved, but it wasn't too good of a road. It was just about like the back roads are now. And this from here to Bel Air was just mud all the way up.
Well, it must have been pretty tough going.
Oh, it was. And Emerton Road over there, it was all just gravel. And it wasn't a very pleasant way of getting around then.
I guess not. Well, how has farming changed, do you think, since
well,
when you started out?
There's just so few farmers. There aren't too many farmers, and a lot of them are just part-time farmers. They just have other jobs, and makes it right rough way to farm. But they have a lot of full-time farmers, but nothing like they used to be. And what dairy farms we have are bigger. And before, we used to ship it in 5-gallon cans, and then they got the tanks to picking it up with trucks coming in the tanks, and that was a big relief. I have some 5-gallon cans and some 7-gallon cans and some 10-gallon cans around here I used to ship milk in.
Was that the basic thing that this farm produced was
yeah,
milk?
Yeah, you're just sure of that milk check, and that everybody tried to get a little one. It wasn't too much. I think milk was only about 40 cents a gallon at that time. But it was, 40 cents went much further then than it does today.
Sure.
They used to pay a man a dollar a day, and he boarded himself. That wasn't too much money.
Well, I guess wages have changed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Wages and prices have probably changed a great deal. and a lot of, I guess, a lot of improvements, a lot of technological improvements on the farm too.
Yeah, they made a lot of improvements, some for the better and some for the worse. They're getting back now to some of the old time ways of farming. They used to plow up everything, and now they have no-till, but use a lot of pesticide now, but they're cutting back on that some on account of polluting everything.
When you were young, just to switch the topic a little bit, around say high school age, or maybe when you just got out of high school, what was the social life like around in Bel Air? What did people, young people, say like your age when you were in high school, do for fun?
Well, we seemed like when we get take a good while to get there and back from school, and some of us, some would play a little bit of a ball or soccer. We didn't have football then. We had soccer and baseball, and it seemed like when you got home you always had chores to do. You couldn't, any farm boys, the ones around town would participate more in these sports, but mostly farm boys, they had to get home and do chores in the morning and evenings.
So you didn't really have too much chance to play sports?
No,
or?
You didn't. You didn't have any, too much of a way of traveling. You didn't have as many cars as they have nowadays.
Well, I guess people had to work a lot harder, so there wasn't a whole lot more free time.
Oh yeah, there wasn't too much free time in those days.
What was, if you can recall, what was Bel Air like about the time you graduated?
Well, it was a big time up there on Saturday night. It seemed like everybody would flock in there and do their shopping on Saturday night, and the streets were full of people. And they come in, and in later years they had cars, and at first they'd just bring their horses and buggies in, and time had hitching posts out in front of the stores where you could tie your horse. And then I remember my mother used to take eggs up and sell, trade them for groceries. And it wasn't much to do other than just do a little shopping and do a little sightseeing.
Do you remember the old movie house that was in Bel Air?
The what?
The movie house, the theater?
Yes, I remember that. There were two or three that I can remember. There was one down on Main Street across from Woodley Richardson's. Mm-hmm. That was the first one. Well, I guess you wouldn't know where Richardson's are now. And then there was the one up there over about where the Commercial and Savings Bank is. And then there was one, the later one, that's just been remodeled into offices, I guess, or on, was it Lee Street and Main Street across from Lutz's?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Lee Street. But it was kind of a treat to get to Bel Air and get a chocolate soda or something like that. We never used to know what dope or anything like that was. You never heard tell of that.
I guess it was a much simpler time to be alive in.
Things have really changed.
Do you remember any of the old hotels that were in Bel Air?
Yeah, I remember. Kenmore Inn was right on the corner where the Ponderosa is now.
That's
the biggest one.
That's the intersection of 22 and 1, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, 22 and 1. That's 22, I guess it is, the old Emerton Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was Country Club Inn that was on, I called it Back Bond Street. That was Country Club, and then there was another one up on U Tree Inn, up on where the Mutual Fire is. Insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Club, I guess that's about it of those days.
Were they pretty big hotels or?
Yeah, they were a good size. Kenmore Inn was bigger, I guess, than most of the others. And then they had Bond's Hotel. It was up over
Where was Vaughn's located?
It was on Main Street, right above where the Red Fox is now.
I see.
I think they had a bowling alley in the basement.
Huh. I see.
I'm not sure they did. Yeah.
Do you remember the racetrack? That used to be where the Hartford Mall is now?
Oh yeah, that was the old fairground, I remember that. When we went to school, all the schools in Harford County would compete there once a year. They would have field day, and all the schools in the county would meet there and would have races on the track. And dodgeball and softball and volleyball and different things there. One school would compete against the other one, and they used to give you 3 medals, silver, bronze, silver, and gold.
Kind of like the Olympics, huh?
Yeah. And then we used to have the 4-H club. I remember my sister and I showing. She had Duroc pigs, and I had Berkshire, and we had each one had an Ayrshire cattle, a calf, and we'd show them up here, and then we'd take them to Timonium. And we were in the 4-H club at that time, and then they have the harness races up there. My wife's father, he used to compete in the harness races, or they call them trotting races, and had the sulkies behind the horse pulled this little two-wheel sulky,
mm-hmm.
and they would race around there. And then they turned it into the racetrack then after that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that the racetrack was a big thing in Bel Air.
Yeah, it was.
It was really popular.
It had betting and everything. And
heard that people would come from all over the place,
yeah.
Just to.
They used to have the races over at Havertagrass too. Horse racing.
Mm-hmm. You graduated from high school about 1927, you said. Well, the Depression was right around the corner.
Yeah, that was it. I wanted to try to go to, another fellow and I up here wanted to go to the University of Maryland. We went down, thought we could get a, nobody had any money at that time, well, not very few, and thought we could work our way through, but everybody was trying to do the same thing, so you couldn't do that.
Couldn't get a job?
Couldn't get a job at down at the University of Maryland.
So did you get to go?
No, I didn't go. Just came home, went to work.
So you continued to work here on your farm?
Yeah.
Well, times must have been really tough around.
Yeah, they were just lucky to get something to eat, and then they started up at PWA for a lot of people went on that, and then they started the CCC camps. That's when a lot of the boys joined that, and when they built the Skyline Drive and those different places.
Well, you mentioned the PWA, that's the Public Works Administration.
Yeah.
What exactly was that program?
Well, they just did something to give people a little bit of money to live on, and they would straighten some of the roads up or do different jobs down at Edgewood. I think it was only so many hours a week, just enough to kind of get people to give them enough to live on, and that was what it was mainly for.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about the CCC? That's the Civilian
that was mostly
Conservation Corps, I believe.
Yeah, they had a place up here, Black Horse, where the boys would go, and then they would take them from there out on the farms, and they would put in soil conservation projects, put in ditches around to keep it from washing, and plant some trees.
Mm-hmm.
They put a lot of fences in out of these multiflora roses, and now there's wherever they put them, where they're scattering out and getting to be a nuisance now. Can't get rid of them. They're trying to make them fine you for not mowing them or letting them go to seed because they spread all over the country.
Did a lot of people around here register in those programs, take part?
I don't know of too many, but I'm sure they did. But a lot of them came from the city where they were just nothing to do, nothing to eat. But farmers, they kind of got by raising something to eat.
Yeah, I guess the farmers around here were luckier than people, say, in the city who might have lost their jobs because of the Depression. Do you remember, was Bel Air hit hard by the Depression? Did any of the businesses close?
It was hit pretty hard. It was just all over. It was especially during 1933, that was a bad time. A lot of people committed suicide in the big cities and lost all their money and they just jump out of windows or do anything.
Did any businesses that you can remember close in Bel Air from the Depression?
Hmm?
Did any banks or businesses close in Bel Air?
Yeah, several of the banks closed. I just forget which ones, but there were several of them that closed. Just rough times.
Hmm. Well, you mentioned earlier the fact that you would sometimes have German prisoners come and work on the farm during World War II. Was there any other effect that World War II had on the farm? Was business better during World War II? Did prices go up? Or?
Well, most effect it had on the farmers, things were hard and scarce, that you couldn't get a lot of stuff. They rationed gas and they rationed a lot of food. Especially, I remember sugar was hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd give you gas stamps to so many a week. A lot of things with tars were all scarce. And you couldn't get much new machinery. You had to make do with what you had.
Did the war have any effect, do you remember, on Bel Air or on APG or Edgewood Arsenal?
I guess it wasn't nothing like as large as it is now, but I guess they didn't hard too much down there then, but nothing like they do now.
To change topics again for a little bit. I understand that you're a member of the local Grange.
Member of the local Grange?
The Grange?
Yeah, I've been 160 years, I guess.
Wow.
The Grange, and a charter member of the Moose up here, and a member of St. Margaret's Church for, I guess, 60, 30 years.
You've been a member of the Grange for 60 years, I believe you said?
Yeah, I think I got a certificate here a good while ago for 50 years. And I've been at least 50, I don't know how many more.
What?
In Farm Bureau, I've been a member of that for years and years.
Which chapter of the Grange do you belong to? What exactly does the Grange do? What's the function of the Grange?
Well, it's try to better the community, and it's used to be mostly farmers into the Grange, but it's spread out now, and it's more just country people that do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 4-H club. 4-H used to be just mostly farm children, but now they got city and everybody in it now.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you were a member of the 4-H club, you and your sister, when you were young. What exactly did the like you just mentioned, the 4-H club is becoming more for almost anybody. But what was it like when you and your sister belonged to it? What kind of things did you do?
Well, we just did things pertaining to farms, but now they have electrical work and people, different projects you can do around the homes. Like city people, they belong to the 4-H and they don't have any animals or any projects like that, but when we were in it, we either had to have an animal to get in it or some project like that. I remember my sister used to do a lot of canning and preserving and things like that. And then my son, he got into the 4-H, and now my grandson's in it. This will be his last year, I guess. I think he can't be in it after he's 17.
Mm-hmm. So basically it was just an organization that when you and your sister belonged to it, would teach about farming or certain...
Yeah, raising animals. And had a county agent, and he would kind of tell you what was the best way to do things.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned also that you're a member of the Farm Bureau, mm-hmm. a longtime member. What exactly did and does the Farm Bureau do?
Well, it's supposed to be just like a union that the other working people have. This is a farmers' organization, and then try to better the farm life or get better prices and better things for the farmer. Looks like it's cleared off out there.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we were talking about the Farm Bureau.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a farmers' organization, but other people than farmers get in it now because they can get insurance cheaper through this Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to belong to an organization. If you get it individually, I think it's a little more expensive.
Mm.
But Farm Bureau does a lot of things. And you can buy, through them, you can buy batteries and baler twine and tars and things. Get them cheaper than you can other places.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that you were a member of the Moose Lodge.
Who did what?
You're a member of the Moose Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been a member with them?
Charter member, and I don't know. I guess I could tell you. You want me to find out? Or get it? No.
So you've been a member for?
About the Moose? Mm-hmm. 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah.
And you said a charter member, so I guess you joined when they opened up around here.
No.
What exactly did and does the Moose Lodge do?
What do they do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just try to make the community better, like most all organizations. And do things to help people out when they get bad circumstances. And it's a get-together place where you have different set-outs and parties up there, and have a ball team, and they play pitch cards, have games. It's just sort of a little recreation for people. It's not for farmers or only the farmers can join, but it's any different thing.
I see. Also, you said you're a member. Are you still a member of St. Margaret's Church for about 30 years as well?
Yeah, my wife was a Catholic, and I was always a Methodist. But then, after, I think about 30 years ago, I just thought I'd just better join. I was going up there to church, and might as well go with the wife and children.
I see. So you raised your children Catholics as well?
Yeah.
Well, I guess... I just have a couple more questions for you. You've been here for a long time. I guess right here for a long time. And you've seen a lot of changes, I guess, in Bel Air and around in Harford County. What do you think of Bel Air today, Harford County today?
Well, it's getting pretty big and crowded. The worst trouble I have is expect to build two hundred more houses up here on the toll gate road, and a lot of different businesses up there, and I don't know how we're going to get to Bel Air even if it keeps going with the traffic like it is. Mm. But it's, I guess it's an improvement all the time. But it certainly is getting congested around here. If it keeps on, it'll only be the farm we have here that'll be open. They're talking about building a hospital up here on the other corner. Hmm. Toll gate and ring factory.
And finally, if you could say anything to young people today, about Harford County or life in general, what would you say? You think?
Well, it's young people seem like a lot of them don't have any respect for anything or anybody like they used to, and they're kind of, I'm not saying that about all, but a lot of them that way, and they just, I guess they'll make out all right, though, if they have one.
Well, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. And I know that everyone who listens to this tape will appreciate the fact that you took some time out of your day to share your experiences with us. And I'd just like to thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I hope you does somebody some good.
I'm sure everybody who listens to this tape